Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here at Saints Peter and Paul, we have seven core values on which our ministry is based. And this fall, we are preaching through these seven core values so that you see the scriptural rationale on which we have these values based. And so today's value we're looking at is the value of pursue health. And pursuing health demonstrates a desire to live in the fullness of life that God has promised. And when things are not healthy, we find healing and restoration in Jesus and work towards healing and restoration in all aspects of health. All aspects of health. That's a big task. That's a big task to consider all aspects of health and work towards healing and all of it, but we mean it and we're serious about this. Physical health, mental health, financial health, spiritual health. As a church, as Christian people, we are interested in all of this. But we're not the only ones. It seems like our world is obsessed with health. Just think about it. Think about the amount of time and money that people put into their physical well-being. There are all the preventative measures that people spend all kinds of time and money on, whether it be nutrition, exercise, stress management, even leisure activities for rest. And that's the stuff that people do in advance, maybe, of getting sick or to help themselves live a healthy life. But think of all the things then we do then to treat physical problems and all the time and money spent going to doctors, dentists, chiropractors, eye doctors, prescriptions, therapies, all kinds of things. I think it's incalculable the amount of money that is spent by people pursuing a physically healthy life. And then there's the mental health. In our society, people are being plagued, especially the younger generations, with ever-increasing anxiety and depression and suicide ideation. And then people spend all kinds of money and time on counselors and therapies and rehab facilities and medicines treating these things. Financial health. People are obsessed with their finances, some too much so. Always paying attention to the stock market or their checking account balance or their retirement accounts or stressing about increasing prices or their money management or the debt loads that they carry. Spiritual health? Yeah, you better believe we're concerned with people's spiritual health here in the church. We want you to have a vibrant and healthy and growing relationship with your living God who loves you so much that he suffered the effects of the brokenness of this world and gave up his life so you could have life. We want you to have a deep and abiding love for the Word of God made manifest to you. We want you to live in the fullness of grace and hope and life that Jesus offers to you. We are certainly concerned with your spiritual health. But as Christian people and as a Christian church, we are not just concerned with your spiritual health. We're concerned with all of it. We're concerned with living a holistically healthy life in Christ because we are truly and fully alive in Christ. And this life in Christ has been given to you. You've been purchased with a price. Life is given to you, and this new life in Christ ought to come with a renewed purpose for living and a renewed sense of the reason that you would strive towards living a healthy life in all aspects. The world is concerned with health. As Christians, we're concerned with health. But why? Do we pursue health for the same reasons? Well, today I certainly want to express to you why, as Christian people, we pursue health and what the Bible has to say about that. But first, I think it's good for us to explore the world in which we live and why people pursue health or why people struggle to pursue health. And in order to do so, I want to tell you two stories, one about Betty and one about Frank. Betty was a young, successful woman. She had the attention of everybody, and she knew it. The men wanted to date her, the women wanted to be like her. She exercised every day, she ate a well-balanced diet, she excelled at her work by working very hard, she bought all the nicest clothes, and her social media presence was well manicured, and it looked like she had it all together. But if you had a conversation with Betty, and if she was in the mood to be honest with you, she would tell you that her life is like an eggshell. It might look nice on the outside, but it's a fragile existence. And Betty would tell you that her only means of keeping her fragile existence together was by trying even harder, putting on even a better show. And in her worldview, she figured if she just kept up with these things, that eventually she would be happy and healthy. Betty pursued health for the reason of vanity. She was more concerned with what other people had to say about her for her sense of purpose and value than about it coming from somewhere else. Frank was a mechanic, just like his dad before him. And his dad had started a successful family-run garage, and when his dad retired, the business was passed on to Frank. And Frank ran that business really well. He was a successful man, well-known and well-loved in the community. Until one day, a freak accident happened when he was working on a vehicle, and the truck he was working on slipped off of the lift and crushed his legs. Frank's life was spared, but his movement and his legs was not. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and after this, Frank slipped into a deep depression. He didn't feel like going to work anymore, even though he could at one point. And so because of that, his business had to shut its doors. His employees lost their jobs, and Frank became dependent on disability aid and the numbing of the pain pills that were prescribed to him. For Frank, he did not have the capacity to pursue health, unlike Betty. For Frank, he became apathetic about health and all of it. And because of this trickle-down effect of an unhealthy life, Frank began to even wonder about his purpose for living. You know stories like this. Perhaps these are your stories. The extremes exist in our culture between vanity and apathy when it comes to a pursuit of health. And the spectrum is filled in all across the board. Some of you sitting here today, perhaps you live in vanity when it comes to your financial situation, and you want to make sure that everybody knows, or that it at least looks like you have it together, but perhaps you're living outside of your means. Perhaps you live in vanity with your financial situation, but your health is a mess. Or vice versa, perhaps your health is extraordinary and you exercise all the time, you eat what's right, but your financial situation is a mess, or your spiritual situation is a mess. What does the Bible have to say about this issue of health? And why are we as Christians concerned with these aspects of health? Does our Christian faith have anything to say to Betty? Does the Bible have anything to say to Betty about finding a purposeful life, a full life? Does the Bible or our Christian faith have anything to say to Frank that even though he may never receive healing of his legs, does he still have a purpose in living? Yeah, absolutely. And I want to show you today. In the Old Testament, there's a concept called shalom. Maybe you've heard this word before. Shalom is a Hebrew word, and even to this day, it's used by Jewish people in their greetings and in their goodbyes. They say shalom to one another. Shalom is most often translated in English as the word peace, like we heard in Numbers 6 today, and as you'll hear as you leave worship today, as you always do, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you shalom, give you peace. But shalom is the kind of peace that's not just an absence of conflict. Shalom is not just like, whew, that was hard, I'm glad it's over. Shalom is deeper and more complex than that. Shalom is the state of completeness, of soundness, of welfare, of peace. You could say it's a perfectly healthy existence. It's as it should be, perfect. In the beginning, God created shalom. It is God's intended state for his creation. God intends for his creation to live in shalom. And the scriptures describe a reality in which God desires shalom for his people. And shalom is not something that we can create or manufacture on our own. Shalom is something that comes with God's presence. When God shines his face upon you, he brings to you shalom. When God is present, he brings this wholeness. And we see this in the New Testament when God comes to be with us, perfect shalom made flesh in Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus do in his ministry? Well, we see all throughout the ministry of Jesus that he healed people in miraculous ways. Some people would say this is what Jesus is most well known for, right? Healing people. Look, in Matthew 4, we read it. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and Jesus healed them. In his ministry, Jesus did all of these miraculous healings. Why? To bring shalom into their existence, to bring this peace into a situation that the world says is chaotic and broken and dying. Jesus came to repair and restore and renew and resurrect. This is what Jesus came to do. And Jesus was proving in his earthly miracles that one day he will bring about a full and final renewed, resurrected shalom for all creation, for all of eternity. This is what is waiting for you in God's resurrected world, in the new heavens and the new earth, a perfect existence. Now, an interesting point to add on to here is that the Greek word for heal, the Greek word for heal is where we get the word therapy in English. It's therapeuo, that's how you say it in Greek, but therapy, right? So you could say that Jesus is the best kind of therapy in order to experience the shalom of God, the wholeness of God. This is what is necessary, and it's true. It's true. It was for Betty, and it also was for Frank. For the longest time, when Betty was living life like an eggshell, she had no interest in the Bible or the things of God, mostly because she had never been exposed to Christianity. But as the cracks in her life continued to form and were only being held together with more makeup and more filters on her social media presence. She started to wonder, there's got to be more to life than this fragile existence and my attempts to hold it all together. And it popped into Betty's mind that she had a friend who was a Christian. And that Christian friend seemed to have a different kind of vision for life than Betty did. And Betty built up the courage to ask her friend about the Bible. And her friend graciously accepted that offer, and they met together for coffee. And they continued meeting together for coffee week after week. And Betty would ask questions about the Bible, and her friend, in her best way possible, would try to answer these questions. But they were simple questions. And Betty learned that her life was created by God. A simple truth, but for Betty, a bold truth. That the cracks in her life, the Bible talks about it and calls these things sin. And Betty learned that God cares so much about her that he came to restore and renew and work in the midst of the cracks to heal her. And so Betty learned about life and salvation in Jesus, and Betty became more comfortable in her body. The activities she was doing, she continued doing them. She continued to exercise daily. She continued to eat a well-balanced diet. She continued to work hard at her job. But each of these things was now filled with a fullness that didn't come from her vain attempts, but was given to her by the Creator God who loves her so much. And the big change came for Betty when she became comfortable to speak about the cracks in her life. And her social media presence was no longer a perfectly manicured and filtered existence, but one in which she spoke about the realities of the hardships of life. Because in those cracks, she recognized that that's where Jesus was at work. And so it was through the cracks she could speak to other people about the love of God made manifest in Jesus. And so in Betty's life, she recognized that Jesus really was, for her, the greatest healing to bring about this wholeness of life that she needed. And so for Betty, her pursuit of health, even though the activities didn't change that much, was no longer a vain attempt, but it was an alignment with God's desire for her and for all creation. And for Frank, Frank had been a church-going Christian man when the accident took place. But when his physical health started falling apart and he became apathetic about his healing and everything started falling apart, even his spiritual being, he just kind of went absent from the church. But thank God he had a faithful church, a loving community, and a faithful pastor who sat with him in the emergency room on the day of the accident, and they continued visiting him in his home. And his pastor would remind him often of the words that the Apostle Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 16. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. The pastor would frequently and repeatedly tell him this, and Frank would often challenge it and say, a temple, this broken mess? And the pastor would tell him, yes, Frank, you were created by God, redeemed by God. You were a baptized child of God, made new in his image. And that's for you, Frank, but it's also that through you and in you, people would get to meet Jesus. The Creator God dwells within you, Frank, so that in you and through you, people can meet Jesus. So, Frank, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Now, even though Frank never regained the use of his legs, in due time, Frank was healed of his addiction to the pain pills, and he was restored in his relationship with the church, and he actually became an elder at the church. And he would accompany the pastor in visitation to the hospital and to the nursing homes, and Frank had a way to resonate with people who were in need of a kind of shalom that this world can't bring. And Frank was able to speak to them about the peace of Jesus Christ and the healing that exists truly and fully in his hands. So why, as a church, are we interested in pursuing health? It's not just to look better. It's not even just to feel better. It's because it means that we're living according to God's intended purpose for us. And what we're doing is we're not even really just pursuing health, but we're pursuing Jesus. Like the people in Matthew 4, they had physical maladies, and where did they go? They went to Jesus. So we pursue Jesus first, and as we do, we're also pursuing this holistic healing in Jesus. We're pursuing shalom. We're pursuing a life that's alignment with God's ways, which is wholeness and completeness and peace. Many of you are like Betty. Many of you are like Frank. Most of you are somewhere in between. I pray that you will see that Jesus is the best means by which you can experience the shalom of God, the healing and wholeness of God. I want to be very clear, though. I'm not saying all you got to do is pray to Jesus and not go to the doctor. I'm not saying all you got to do is pray to Jesus and you'll be rich and famous. I'm not saying you just got to pray to Jesus and all of your maladies will go away. But I am saying bring it all to Jesus. Pursue Jesus. And you may find a healing that goes beyond what you could even ask or imagine. So invite Jesus into your pursuit of health. Invite Jesus into your exercise. Invite Jesus into your grocery store shopping as you make considerations for what you're going to feed your family. Invite Jesus into your financial conversations with your spouse. Pursue Jesus, and you will find yourself pursuing health. Find your healing and your restoration in Jesus alone. In his name, amen.